Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Don't forget, download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri 6 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Dimitri live and dangerously local, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Dimitri encore and dangerously local. Steve Devani, 5 days a week, 3 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern Time, all right here. The River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality. Download that River Network app and then click River Talk. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it greatly. If you just joined us, you missed some incredible radio. We had Belmont County Auditor Cindy Henry here. She was a real trooper. We have no heat in the studio. There's no heat. I know. Mr. Deep Pockets. Well, if we don't have any heat, then I get to save money, which is true. He does not have to spend any money heating the studio, our state-of-the-art broadcast facility here. I'm freezing to death, but the point is that we can, you know, help him not have to pay as much to heat the building. All right, so there's that. But she gave us really, really good information. Belmont County citizens, you're going to be getting your tax bills any day now in the mail. They were sent out either yesterday or they're being sent out today. And prepare yourselves, because the typical tax increase, Belmont County is going to be at least 20%. And quite possibly more, depending on how the what other increases there have been with the different taxing authorities, whether it's the fire department or this authority or that authority or whatever. So it could be even 30%. So, you know, crazy, crazy numbers. And in part, you can actually blame Dr. Fauci and the plandemic, because the pandemic screwed up our finances throughout the country. They poured so much money into the system to try to keep it afloat, even though they were trying to shut it down at the same time with this pandemic, that people ended up going crazy buying real estate and this, that, and the other. And now this is the day after. And now we're going to be looking at massive increases regarding our taxes. You can all trace this back to Fauci. There's a special place in hell for this monster. There really is. And got a full pardon. A preemptive pardon, which is not constitutional, by the way. There's no preemptive pardon in the Constitution at all. So that's going to be challenged, and I think someday you're going to see this guy in prison. I certainly hope so. The guy that is replacing him at the NIH is a wonderful guy. His name is Dr. J. Bhattacharya. And he makes a very, very strong case for what has been going on regarding the pandemic. And this is one of the really, really, really good guys. And we are very, very lucky to have him. So let him explain to you a lot of your worst suspicions. He's going to pretty much be confirming.
But the line between that and suppressing scientific discussion, suppressing policy discussion, should have been a bright red line that should never have crossed. And the government agencies essentially decided to treat scientific debate on COVID policy as if it were, the dissidents around who were on the other side of the government, as if they were just like those international terrorists in some sense. They thought it was okay to suppress those kinds of people, those kinds of ideas. As an American citizen, I don't think that it's right for the American government to have that kind of power. The basic fundamental American norm is free speech. And I understand there are nuances around exactly what that means. Free speech is not the freedom to reach everybody. But at the very heart is permitting a space for debate to take place among scientists and policymakers and concerned members of the public on vital policy issues. The government decided through its actions that they didn't want to let that happen during the pandemic. And again, as a result, it's really not about me. It's about the fact that we would have won this debate about lockdown policy, and so many people that were harmed wouldn't have been harmed. These vaccine mandates wouldn't have been in place. People wouldn't have lost their jobs or careers over them. The schools would have opened earlier. The panic mongering would have been addressed, so the anxiety and depression problems we're seeing might have been less, and the economic devastation from the lockdown policies might have been avoided, at least to some degree. All of these consequences, the conclusion I take away from that is that this censorship activity killed people. The First Amendment, ironically, during the pandemic, we heard all these things like we can't have free speech during a pandemic. The Constitution is not a suicide pact. Ironically, the reality is that the First Amendment would have, if had it been actually in place during the pandemic, would have saved lives, would have led to less damage, less destruction, fewer people dead.
And now Anthony Fauci gets a preemptive pardon. And not just for the pandemic, but for the past 10 years. Right at the beginning when they outlawed these biolabs in America. The guy who always told us, you got to trust the science, and oh, by the way, I'm the science, has accepted a preemptive pardon from the Biden grifter family. Wonder why he would have accepted a pardon if he had done nothing wrong. That's certainly confusing. Want to give you an update about what is happening or not happening regarding garbage collection in Belmont County. I'm still waiting for the woman in charge of Kimball to respond to my message. I reached out to her through Facebook Messenger, saying, hey, would you like to come on, talk about this, give us your side? No response at all. No response whatsoever, which must be nice. I mean, if you're that big and that powerful that you can just ignore what people have been saying about your miserable service, why you haven't been picking up and on and on and on and on, you would think that at least I would have received a polite thanks, but no thanks. I mean, but nothing. Which says to me that the arrogance on the part of these people is unbelievable. We're so big, we don't have to even respond. We don't even have to do anything. We're Kimball. We'll get there whenever we get there. And that's all there's to it. It's unbelievable, these people. These people are just absolutely unbelievable. But I did reach out to them, and nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we'll stay on top of this. Do want to thank Dwayne Pelick again, Ohio Valley Waste Systems, a fantastic company. Full disclosure, is my client, Dimitri 2020 LLC client, is a big advertiser on the station. The great service. They pick up my garbage. They've been fantastic about it. I cannot say enough good things for the drivers and the helpers and everybody else with Ohio Valley Waste Systems. And by the way, for all of you, and I know I have an awful lot of drivers, all sorts of different types of vehicles who listen to me as they're working, doing their jobs in their vehicles. If you are looking for a career change, if you are looking for to work for a company that really, really appreciates you and is growing by leaps and bounds, if you're a driver, a helper, anyone connected with waste hauling in any way, especially if you have a CDL license, Ohio Valley Waste Systems. Talk to Dwayne. Tell him Dimitri sent you. These are really, really good people. They don't work you to death. They treat customers fairly. They're just this is the kind of company you want to drive for. It's the kind of company you want to be associated with. Ohio Valley Waste Systems. And Dwayne Pelick, does no one better. Well, I am. But, I mean, other than that, Dwayne is terrific. It really is. So if you're a driver and you're sick and tired of all the crap you got to put up with regarding this, some of these other monster truck companies that just don't really give a damn about customers, get in touch with Ohio Valley Waste Systems. Do it this morning. Talk to Dwayne. These are really, really, really good people. Tell them Dimitri sent you. Next. I have in my possession a deeply disturbing post by a person who works for one of our school districts. And this person is someone who is very high up in the school district and hates Trump, hates MAGA Nation, The hate is unbelievable, which is fine. But here's the thing. This school district employee, this is a school district employee who interacts with our children, posted something that made it crystal clear that it would be great if one of the president's children, Don Jr., was decapitated. If somebody could chop off the head of one of Donald Trump's children, in this case, Don Jr. Now, it's one thing to have strong political beliefs. I don't care what yours happen to be. I think, you know, that's fine. But if you work for a public school district here in the Upper Ohio Valley, and you are interacting with children, and you post something that says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's crystal clear, that I think that we should chop off the head of Donald Trump Jr. Why is this person still employed? Why is this person allowed to interact with our children? Maybe your kid, maybe your grandkid. I reached out to this public school employee saying, hey, I'm going to be talking about this. Do you want to come on and give us your side? Why you think it's okay, why you think it's appropriate to be posting stuff on social media saying you want to chop the head off of Donald Trump Jr.? You want to come on and explain to us why parents and grandparents shouldn't be concerned that you're interacting with their children? Because if that's what you're saying publicly on social media, what the hell are you saying privately to our kids and grandkids? So I reached out to this person, offering equal time. Again, this is a public school employee here in the Valley who interacts with our children. We're not talking about a custodian here. We're talking about someone with an intimate interaction with our children. And the school district employee is posting information about how it would be great if someone decapitated Donald Trump Jr. Again, I've reached out. No response. I'll give the person another day or so to respond, and if we don't hear anything back, I mean, I'm going to be addressing this Monday. On Monday, I'm going to be addressing this issue, asking some very tough questions at the school district, asking very tough questions about the employee. And God only knows what this employee is telling our children off of social media. It's bad enough on social media, but off social media. I mean, decapitating someone? How can we allow someone like that to be interacting with our children? And it's happening right now, right here in the Upper Ohio Valley, a public school district. Again, we've reached out. No response. This is not going away. This is not going away. I will tell you the employee's name. I will tell you the employee's title. I will tell you the school district. We're going to have some, be asking some very, very tough questions on Monday regarding what the school district is allowing some of these monsters to get away with. Monsters that are public school employees. Taxpayers are paying for this. And they're doing posts about how it's a good idea to decapitate Donald Trump Jr.